Would you please stand with me this morning, take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 75. Psalm chapter number 75. Psalm chapter 75. We're going to start reading in a moment at verse number 1. Psalm chapter 75, starting with verse number 1. Young people, make sure that you're not playing over here, but listen now. You know, what's sad, it's not new visitors. It's some people that have been coming for years that are disrupting this morning, so pay attention right up this way. Psalm chapter 75, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. And to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south." If you are looking there, it says in verse number four, "I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. God, please help us, each one, to listen so that our lives might be better because we came to church. Lord, we're not here to be entertained, and I'm not here to entertain. We're here to be changed. We're here to be improved upon. And oh, do we need it, Father, the human race, we fall so short. As a result of today's sermon, I pray that some Christians will step up in their thinking. God, help us today to know that thy Spirit has reached into our hearts and changed and challenged us for the better. Again, help the interruptions by the devil to be limited, and may Jesus have his way in this service. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The psalmist here said, don't deal foolishly. And it even said, fools try to, if you will, bargain with God. It says that this foolish dealing, there's a title being placed on someone. A fool is bargaining or dealing, and God said, you need to be careful how you do that. I think God is saying, don't treat people in a foolish way, and don't treat God in a foolish way. But folks, let me tell you, be very, very careful about wanting to bargain with God. There used to be a game show on the television. I don't know if it's on anymore. It's called Deal or No Deal. How many of you ever heard of Deal or No Deal? The guy's name was Howie. You all know the Bible so well. Old Howie Mandel. And I think they had a certain number of briefcases and they all looked the same. And inside those briefcases, there was an amount of money that you could win, from one penny all the way up to $1 million. And I don't remember the process of the game, but you made deal or no deal, and there was a banker involved, and the goal was to find the briefcase that had the most money, and it was a dealing process that went on. I want to explain something to you, folks. God isn't playing deal or no deal with you. God doesn't play deal or no deal. But I have to tell you, the human race thinks that God wants to do that. God said, don't deal foolishly. And I think, though, the human race, man sometimes tends to want to make deals with God. God, if you'll do what I ask you to do, then I will do what you ask me to do. I couldn't tell you how often people think that way. Just so you know, that's bad thinking on the human race's part. Did you hear what I said? They say, God, if you will do what I ask you to do, then I will do what you have asked me to do. And I submit to you today, that's a bad idea. That's not how this thing's supposed to work. Does the created require the creator to accept his deal? And you think it's okay for you look to God and say, God,
Deal or no deal? Deal or no deal, God? Now, if anybody had the right to do that, God could look at you and say deal or no deal. But the human race does not have the right. The human race does not stand on firm footing when they look up to God and say, I'd like to make a deal with you today, God. Can I tell you all something? God don't need to be dealing with us. I believe we should obey God without trying to make a deal with Him about our obedience. And that's basically what that little thought boils down to. Let me repeat myself. I said, I believe we should obey God without trying to make a deal with Him about our obedience. Don't try to be a wheeler and dealer with God. We use the term Jew, and I don't mean this in an offensive way, but you're not to Jew things out of God. You're not to be a used car salesman with God. Now, not all used car salesmen are shysters, but there are a few out there that are. Folks, your life is not a garage sale or a flea market full of deals, and you can go to God and be conjuring up deals all the time. And so let me say it again. Does the created require the creator to accept his deal? Let me see if I can take this simple thought and make it so we understand it even further. For instance, how about this? Deal or no deal, God? God, you get me out of this mess that I've created, and I will serve you with my life. Hear that? God, you get me out of this mess I've created, and I will serve you with my life. Can I tell you something, folks? You should serve God with your life, whether He gets you out of your situation or not. But, folks, you do understand how many people do that. Get me out of this mess, I'll serve you. You ought to serve Him anyway. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says this, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I'm not going to go into this story deeply, but let me explain. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being thrown into a burning fiery furnace for serving God. And one of them told the king, they said, King, listen, we sure want God to spare us. And they actually pray and say, God, we're about to get thrown into the burning fiery furnace. But let us make something very, very clear. We would like to be spared from that furnace. But if we're not spared, we're still not serving the false gods. We're still sticking with God. Folks, don't go to God and say, God, get me out of this and I'll serve you with my life. I don't think I quite understand that. Does that mean if He doesn't get you out of the mess you created, then you're not going to serve Him? You really want to know how to get what you want from God? You ought to just let Him know, I'm serving you no matter what. You know, you're more apt to get something out of God if He sees you will serve because it's right to do instead of striking up a deal with God. And I wonder how many have made those promises. God, I'll do this if you'll do that. Can I tell you all something? Most people that make promises like that to God never do what they said they were going to do. But I'm saying, God, you get me home from the war and I'll serve you forever. Can I tell you something? You better serve God forever no matter what comes. The right attitude is, I'll serve you whether you get me home from the war or not. Really, you think about it. Which would God rather hear? God, you do for me what I want, and I'll do for you what you want. Or, do you think God would prefer hearing this? God, I'll do what you want. I'll do what you want. God, you get me out of this mess in my life, and I will serve you. Many of our messes are self-inflicted. God, solve this mess I got myself into, and I'll serve you forever. But wait a minute, folks. The right attitude is, God, whether or not you solve my self-inflicted mess, I'm going to serve you. You are more apt to get what you want out of God by deciding to serve Him, whether He solves the problem you created or not. See, this is what I'm saying. My service to you, God, is not a part of a deal. My service to you is unconditional because I love you and I'm going to serve you no matter what. boy, am I hungry, and I'm sure God is hungry for them, for some Christians that will say, God, I am in, period. No matter what comes on me, no matter what I face, no matter what I lose, no matter how much I hurt, no matter how much it costs me, I'm serving God. Boy, I am getting tired of watching Christians throw in the towel and quit on God because it's not going their way. I'm not coming to church today because, God, I got to make you a deal. God doesn't need to make a deal with you. You need to show up and do what you're supposed to do, whether you like it, whether you feel good, or whatever the case may be. I'm just trying to tell you, folks, we play deal or no deal with God. God doesn't owe you that. You owe God. So, God, get me out of this, and I'll serve you with my life. You should have said to God a long time ago, whether you get me out of the mess or not, you're my God. I'm serving you. Not only that. Deal or no deal, God. You give me money, and then I'll use my money for you. You know what, folks? It ought to be that you use what money you have for Him, whether He gives you more or not. Job 1:21, Job said this, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's naked in, naked out. And God said, Job said, I'm serving you, God, rich or poor. Rich or poor. Folks, just for your information, God gave you all that you have. He gave it all to you. Folks, listen, God's will can't be bid on like you bid on something on eBay. That's not how it works. People say, God, if you'll pay off my bills, I'll start giving to you like I'm supposed to. You should give like you're supposed to God, whether He pays off your bills or not. People say, God, if you'll make my business rich, I'll be generous to the poor. You should be generous to the poor anyway. God, if you'll give me a raise, I'll start tithing. You should tithe whether you get a raise or not. Who does the human race think they are bargaining with God? God, we're going to work on my terms. You do what I want, then I'll do what you want. It works the other way around, folks. You do what you're supposed to do for God, whether He does anything for you or not. God, if you'll let me have a bunch of money, I'll give sacrificially. We should give sacrificially anyway. The human race. Deal or no deal, God? God's not a loan shark. God's not a pawnbroker with your life and obedience. He's the King of Kings that deserves our financial obedience. There are people in this room. God, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'm telling you, you're practicing some of the poorest financial thinking I've ever found in a person that calls themselves a Christian. I give to God because I'm supposed to give to God. I think that best assures me that God will take care of me. God said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Not, it shall be given unto you, so you then can give. It's not in the Bible, but some of you financially have the financial cart before the horse. So, we foolishly want to make deals with God. God, get me out of this, and I will serve you with my life. God, give me money, then I'll use my money for you. How about this? Deal or no deal, God? Heal my body, and I will use my healthy body for you. You know what you ought to say? Healthy or unhealthy, I will use my body for you. I can't tell you how many people have an unhealthy body so they never do anything for God. Nothing. They use it as an excuse till the day they die. Can I recommend something to you? Whether you're healthy or not, serve God. Serve God. Look, if I wanted God to heal me, I don't think I'd be trying to say, hey, chump, heal me, I'll serve you. What is it? What's the human race thinking? And I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people talk this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8, the Bible says this, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." This is the Apostle Paul. You all understand that in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is probably the best Christian other than Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had a terrible, terrible situation with his eyes. I think he had cataracts or there was something terribly bad with his eyes. And the Apostle Paul, who's one of the greatest men in the entire Bible, he went to God and said, "God, make me better." He prayed. And here the Bible says, "I went to God and begged him on three occasions to make me better. I beg God, God, make me better." And he went to him again and said, "God, I beg you to make me better." He went to God a third time. He said, "God, I beg you to make me better." You know what? God never made him better. I got good news for you, though. It never stopped Paul from serving God. He didn't use it as an excuse. Paul didn't go to God and say, "God, if you'll make me better, I'll write 14 books of the New Testament." No, he was busy writing while he was sick. Paul didn't say, "God, if you'll make me better, I'll travel around and I'll help churches." No, while he was not well, he was going forward for God and starting those churches. And everybody under the sound of my voice, you better thank God that Paul reached out to generations of people and they got saved when Paul was sick. I believe Paul had epilepsy. I believe Paul had been beaten within inches of his life. He could not see. He was a sick man to the point that Luke, the physician, had to travel with Paul everywhere he went for the longest time. But you want to know something? Paul got something done for God because Paul didn't get up in the morning and say, "God, you give me what I want, and I'll see if I can work you in, God. God, you get rid of my cancer, and I'll go soul winning. Fire you, I'd go soul winning anyway. God, you take away my heart condition and I'll be faithful to church." I think it'd be a good idea for you to be faithful whether you get what you want anyway. "God, you remove my back problem and I'll give to missions." I think you ought to give to missions whether your back hurts or not. "God, you get me out of this wheelchair and I'll give some time to the Lord." I think you better give some time to the Lord in the wheelchair. Say, "Pastor, do you have no more compassion than this?" I'm being a very compassionate person right now. I'm trying to tell you how you get what you need from God. You don't try to strike up a deal with Him. You let God know, "I love you. You're my God. And I'm going to serve you no matter what comes. I'll serve you, God. I'm going to serve you with my life." Then you'll get what you need. "God, take away my arthritis and I'll be willing to pray." Now, I think you ought to pray whether you have arthritis or not. "God, heal my disease and I'll teach Sunday school." There's some of you ought to decide you want to teach Sunday school even if you're sick. "God, help me feel better and I'll read my Bible." I think if I were you, I'd read your Bible whether you feel better or not. "God, take away my headache and I'll join the bus ministry." Well, if He took your headache away and you joined the bus ministry, you just ask for another headache. If someone were to say to me, "Brother Owens, tell me one of the basic principles that you guide your life by," I'm giving it to you this morning. I don't make deals with God. I do what I'm supposed to do, whether I get what I want or not. Because right is always right. And I'm going to do right on the basis of what is right and wrong, not on the basis of what I get out of it. But the human race is so self-centered, we want to go to God and say, "God, you give me what I want, then I'll give you what you want." And I submit to you today, you ought to give God what He wants no matter what. Just bottom line it. "God, I'm in. You have me lock, stock, and barrel." I don't mean to be uncouth. My grandpa used to say, "Come hell or high water. If I'm going through it, if I'm drowning, I'm serving God." I'm telling you, they come and go. They're in the church a little while and things don't go their way, so they're gone again. It's sad. Where is the church of the last generation where they loved a God and it was unconditional? And I'll serve God no matter what comes my way. It's not that way anymore. They'd rather be home watching TV. "God, you get me out of this and I'll serve you. God, you give me money and I'll give money back to you. God, you heal my body and I'll use that body and I'll serve you." How about this? "God, make me a success and then I'll use my life for you. God, make me a success. I'll use my life for you. Folks, it ought to be God, successful or not, my life is yours to control. But there are a lot of people. Oh, God, you give me success, and then I'll give it back to you. You had better give God your life, whether you get to be a big shot or not. Psalm 75, verse 4 through 7, we read it earlier. It says, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift up not thine horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. You say, well, it didn't mention the north. Well, promotion comes from the north. That's with God. Hey, don't foolishly wheel and deal to get a promotion. You say, Lord, make my business a success, and I will give my business to you. You should have already given your business to God. I know people say, you know what, God, I want my business to be a success. And so, God, you make my business a success, and then my business is your business. You should have already said, God, my business is your business, successful or not. Make me famous, and I'll tell people about you, Jesus. You should already be telling everybody about him. Let me reach my goals in life, and God, I will help you reach yours. You ought to be helping God reach his goals before you reach yours. Let me go down in history. Let me make my mark. And then I'll do what you want me to do. You ought to want to do what God wants done before you're made famous. I've watched preachers, young and old alike, make my ministry well known, and I'll praise you, Jesus. You ought to be praising God and praising Jesus, whether anybody ever hears about your ministry. Make me a famous singer, and I'll use my voice for you. You should have been using your voice for him a long time ago. Help everyone to know me, and then I'll help everyone to know you, God. That's the way people think. Deal or no deal. I don't think we're supposed to be making those kind of deals with God. And not to be wheeling and dealing with God. Give God what he wants. You say, but what do I get out of it? What if you get nothing out of it? He is the great God of the universe, and he deserves our unconditional service and love and trust. God, get me out of this, and I'll serve you with my life. God, give me money, and then I'll give you money. God, heal my body, and then I'll use my healthy body, and I'll start serving you. God, make me a success, and then I'll let you have my successful life. Hey, he ought to already have it. How about this? God, spare my life and I'll love you. God, you spare my life and I'll love you. Job 13, verse number 15, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It ought to be that you love him even if you die. Job was under Satan's persecution. And you know what Job said? Said, though he slay me, yet. Well, I serve him. And what he's saying is, I'm going to love God no matter what. There are people in this room. I'll tell you why you are so lax and so retracted in your Christianity. Because God is on so much trial with you. You didn't get something you wanted. It didn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out. So you hold yourself back from God. You better throw yourself into God's need and God's cause, lock, stock, and barrel, and take God off a trial. If anything went wrong, it wasn't God's fault. He is a perfect, holy God. Amen. Spare me, God, and you'll get my obedience. No, he ought to have your obedience if he doesn't spare you. I believe this. Daniel was thrown in a lion's den. I think Daniel wanted to be saved. I think Daniel didn't want to be eaten by a lion. I have no desire myself to be eaten by anything, especially sharks and lions. But I believe this. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown in the burning fiery furnace, they said, God, save us, but if you don't worry, God. We're not putting our tail between our legs and running. We'll die for you if we have to. And I believe that when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, he did not want to be eaten by the lion. But I'll guarantee you, had you asked Daniel, say, Daniel, what are you going to do when that lion comes at you and it's obvious you're going to be eaten by the lion? I think Daniel would have said, I'm going to keep on serving God. Have a seat, son. Get in or do something. Everybody's watching you instead of watching me. You're better looking than me, but I'm in charge right now, okay? Got it? Thank you.
Amen.
Well, we're equally good looking. Hey, spare me, and then, God, you'll get my obedience. I don't think it's supposed to work that way. Spare me, then I'll give you some of my time, Lord. Doesn't work that way. Spare me, and then you can have my attention, God. He should already have your attention. Spare me, and then I'll give you my family. He ought to already have your family. Spare me, then I'll give you my abilities and my talent. He ought to already have your abilities and talent. Spare me, and then, God, you'll have my admiration. Spare me, then, God, I will become productive for you. God, spare me. Then you can have my energy. Spare me. Then you can have my money. Spare me. Then you can have me. Spare me. Then you can have my love. Spare me. Help me. You do for me, God. Then I'll kick in for you. And I'm telling the human race today, God deserves better than that. God deserves that we say, God, I'm in. No matter what you do, I'm in. God, you spare me. Then you can have me. You really think God has to prove Himself to you? God is God no matter what's happening in your life. There have been flunkies before you and there'll be flunkies after you. That's not going to change the omnipotence and the omniscience. The great God of the universe. It doesn't change on the basis of what you get out of it. It's all about God. Y'all do realize that, right? Can I tell you something that helps some of your marriages? Knock off the deal or no deal. You be the right kind of a husband no matter what your wife does. You be the right kind of a wife no matter what your husband does. But you know what the average marriage does? Deal or no deal. You give me what I want, I'll give you what I want. You give me what I want, and I'll give you what you want. That's not how marriage is supposed to work. Do you know something? You're to be a good husband no matter what your wife does. You're to be a good wife no matter what your husband does. Deal or no deal? Probably be good for some of you to hear this. I had a man tell me this. I was preaching out around the country, and man came, he said, I drove a couple hours to get here to hear you preach. He said, there is not a good, independent, fundamental, separated Baptist church within a couple of hours of my home. He said, I'd love to come and join your church. He said, if I come to your church, would you let me do this, 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 and this? I said, nope. I said, you just come, you become a member, and you love God, and when it's time, you'll get something. But if you think I'm making a deal with you, sir, I'm not. You come to my church because you love God and you think this is where God wants you, and then we'll figure out the rest later on. I'm going to negotiate a deal. Well, Pastor, if I knew I could be in the choir, I'd be faithful to church. Around here, you got to be faithful to church before you can get in the choir. Pastor, if I thought I could be a deacon, I'd start going soul winning. I'd pick my deacons from the people that are already going soul winning. I'm not striking up deals. Pastor, you know, if I could have a prominent position in the church, I'd start tithing. It's going to be a while before you're going to be a prominent leader then. We don't make deals like that. Pastor, if you'd let me sing in the special music, I'd change the way I dress. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. So what you know what you said, so what are you looking for? Obedience to the commands of God without expectation. Then God comes along and says, I can bless you Because you're doing what you're supposed to do. Deal or no deal? I'll get saved, but I'm sorry. I'd take the butt off the end of it. Just get saved. But no. Just get saved. Well, I expect, you don't expect nothing when you get saved. He does the saving, you do the letting. Well, I would get saved if God, no. If you're lost and on your way to hell, you better thank God. He's giving you a free gift. You come on His terms. He doesn't save you on yours. You get saved because you need to be saved. He'll take it from there. I meet people. Well, I'd probably get saved, but I'm thinking, you'd probably go to hell then. Because God doesn't save on man's terms. God saves on God's terms. See, if God saved on man's terms, we'd mess it up. He knows what He's doing. Can I assure you all of something? Anything God wants you to be obedient to, He'll keep His end of the bargain. You don't have to worry about, will God be a straight shooter? He always is. When man tries to deal with God, it's man questioning God's authority. It's man questioning if God's going to be fair or just or right. If man didn't question that, man would say, God, what do you want? You got it. No explanation needed. You can have it. Why? He's totally trustworthy. The scripture is this, from Psalm 75. It says this, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. He goes on to say, promotion comes from God. And God is saying, don't you try to strike up a bunch of deals with God. Hey, I think everybody ought to say, God, I'm just going to serve you with my life. I'm giving you my life. I'm going to do what you want. But be careful demanding something of God so God can get what He expects of you. I think the sermon is called Deal Not Foolishly. And I think all of us at times get to thinking we ought to be striking up deals with God. You say, well, God let me down. I'm sorry. God's never let you down. You let God down. There are people in here you could do 10 times better than what you do, and it's not God's fault. It's your fault. If you're not saved, I'd get saved. You say, why? It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. If you're a Christian, do what's right, not because of what you get out of it, but because it's the right thing to do. That caliber of Christianity is almost unheard of anymore. Most of the time, people wait and see, what do I get out of it? What's in it for me? And I think it's all about what's in it for God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Are you saved? Are you a born-again Christian? If you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm born again. I need to be saved. Pray for me that I'd get saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Who here would say, Pastor, I am saved. I'll not lie in church. I'll not lie to myself. I'll not lie to you. I'm a born-again Christian, and I know that. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Say, I'm saved. I know it. I know I'm saved. You put those hands down. In a moment, we'll have an altar call, and when we do, if you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, Christian, what are you waiting on? Wait to see what you get out of it or what's God going to do for you? God's going to come through because He's God. But there are people, under the sound of my voice, you're a deal maker with God. God, you give me, I'll give you. No, you give God first. You give God whatever He wants, and God will take care of the rest. So you don't have to worry about what he will do. One we have to worry about is the human race, me and you. Who here would say, Pastor, there's no doubt. God has spoken to my heart today. He's spoken to me specifically. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? There are hands up all over the place. You may put your hand down. If you need a moment at this altar, hey, I believe some of you, you talked this way with God and you did it in simplicity. It wasn't out of rebellion. I think you said, oh, I heard somebody say, make a deal with God. So I did. Let me tell you, I'm just trying to take you up a notch. Why don't you just say, God, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, no matter what. I'm just going to do the right thing, no matter what I get out of it. I'm promising you, that'll make you a strong Christian. Because you're not Howie Mandel. You're a human and he's God. Don't be making deals. Just be obedient. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. You come. There are people in here, you say, God, if I ever got my health back, I'd serve you. You need to figure out a way to serve him with your bad health. You're not going to serve him the rest of your life just because of that one thing? God, I would be giving. I'd tithe. If you would, no, you ought to be tithing no matter what God does. You can trust God. Problem is, he can't trust you. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved, be thinking through this. Say, well, as soon as I get my life straightened out, I'll be faithful to God. You got it all messed up. You should be faithful to God while you're straightening out your life. You've got the cart before the horse. Somehow you think you're going to do it without him? That's how you got into the mess in the first place. Many of the self-inflicted messes that we find people, it's people in and out of church and every excuse under the sun why they don't come to church and why they don't serve God. And so they create a mess, then they want to do a bargain with God about the remainder of their life. It'll sound harsh, but some of you need to grow up and become a mature Christian and be obedient because it's the right thing to do. You know, I hope he gives you financial prosperity. I want him to. I hope he gives you health. I want him to. Well, I hope he gives you promotion in life. I want him to. I hope for your sake that you get success, and I hope he spares your life. I hope all that for you. But I would not make your obedience to him dependent on what you get out of it. I'd make it dependent on your obedience to a holy God. You won't hear much preaching like this anymore because everybody wants it diluted where the responsibility is no longer man's. Man has great responsibility to a holy God. One more time through the song. In a moment, we'll be on our way. Some of you that are holding out on God, why are you holding out? And well, what is it? What are you waiting on? Well, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. There might not be any more ships coming in. It might be smart for you to serve God right now. I'm waiting for my situation to change. Your situation might not change. Might be good if you serve God if your situation doesn't change.